Good afternoon, it's 12:30. I'd like to welcome everybody to the August 6th Ada Board meeting. I'll call the meeting order at this time. Lynn, would you roll call the board members?
Mr. Wilkins.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Paraday.
Here.
Ms. Nygaard.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Here.
Mr. Day.
Here.
Mr. Bruce.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Would you continue with staff and public, please?
Hey, as I point to you, please state your name and your organization. We'll start here.
John Springsteen, Ada.
Okay, back there in the corner.
Kirk Schroeder, Ada.
Ted Leonard, Ada.
Roy Stender, Ada.
Colin Bailey,
Jordy Hughes.
Matt Naris, Ada.
Fiona Hackett, Ada.
Oh, Sonny Morrison, Accutype.
Nick Stoniak, Ada.
Dan Britton, Penta.
Mark Gardner, Western Financial Group.
Bob Shepchick, Ada.
Karsten Rosbeck, Ada.
Carl
Lation.
Front row.
Jessica Stoltz,
Alaska Newbury. Jared Judea, Department
of Law. Mark Davis,
Ada.
Rick Steele, Anchor of Community Development and Change Point.
Kirk Warren, ADA.
Jennifer Haldane, Ada.
Sandra Moeller, ADA.
Elwood Kramer, Alaska General Counsel.
Scott Mariner, Anchor of Community Development and Change Point. Les Anderson, ACD, Change
Point. Michael Lamb, Ada.
Paul Harrison, Ada.
Sure,
Ada. Quinn Kempinen, Ada. Do we have any public on the phone?
Yes, this is Rick Ascock with MWH.
Any other public?
Thank you, Quinn. Before us is our agenda for August 6th. I'll take a motion for approval.
Move the agenda.
Second. Any modifications? John?
No modifications.
All right. We'll approve it as presented. Thank you. Item number five, public comments. We'll start with folks online. Please limit to 3 minutes. And clearly, we'd like to make sure we have your name and any group that you're affiliated with. So, that being said, is there anybody online who wants to make a public comment to the Ada Board? Anybody online? Anyone on the line? In the conference room? Yes, sir, come on up.
My name is Rick Steele. I'm the Finance Director of Anchorage Community Development and an Executive Pastor at Change Point. And I've got a letter here that I'd like to read and present to the Ada Board today. Dear Ada Board, last week we paid off the final balance of the $23.5 million loan Ada provided to us in June of 2005. This loan was associated with our purchase of the defunct Alaska Seafood International fish processing plant that Ada owned at the time. We're proud to note that we made every required payment on time or early, and in fact have paid this loan off 10 months prior to its maturity date. Despite the expectation written into the loan documents of a refinance rather than a payoff at maturity. We're happy to report that, as envisioned from the beginning, this transaction has furthered the very purposes the legislature intended in 1967 when Ada was created, namely to promote the health, security, and general welfare of all the people of Alaska, and to increase job opportunities and encourage economic growth. For example, Change Point Church, the primary tenant of the property, fosters the spiritual and emotional health of thousands of Alaskans by declaring that life is found in Jesus Christ. The Dome, which now owns one of the four original parcels, fosters physical health for thousands of Alaskans who use its world-class indoor track and field facilities. The cold storage facility attracted Sysco, the world's largest food wholesaler, to the Alaska market, resulting in increased job opportunities and overall economic growth. Sysco now also owns one of the four original parcels. And Medline, a national medical supplies provider, is also a major tenant of the property, creating more jobs and economic growth for Alaskans. We are grateful for the opportunity Ada gave to us to be a part of these contributions to our state. We believe God orchestrated this deal to allow both Ada and Change Point to realize the unique purposes and vision that each possesses. May all of your projects be beneficial to the state, to Ada, and to the borrower, as was the case with this transaction. Sincerely, Grace Lasky, Inc., the controlling member of Anchorage Community Development.
You're here.
Personal note, I'd like to thank Leona Hakla and Chris Anderson in particular for working with me over the years of different restructuring scenarios and issues that they came up. They've been great staff to work with. So can I leave this letter with someone?
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Before you leave, question? All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
You can come back anytime.
Yeah, great. I'd like to leave it a high note. All right. Any more folks in the conference room for public comment? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment period. Next up is prior minutes for June 11th and June 25th. Let me take a motion.
Second.
Discussion on the minutes for the 11th and 25th, corrections, additions, anything like that? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and adopt those then. Next up is new business, resolution G15-14, office building repairs. And I'll turn this over to John.
Item 7A, resolution G15-14, authorizes ADA to make necessary and or critical repairs for the continued operation of the building. Existing building was constructed in 1973. The HVAC equipment is original, as well as the majority of other equipment and fixtures. To keep the building running, equipment is replaced on failure and ongoing repairs are made. At this time, I ask Carl Reich and Jessica Stoltz to present, address questions, call on others as needed. And Carl and Jessica are on our business committee.
All right. Welcome. So are you going to say anything, or do we just want questions from the board?
It's a pretty straightforward summary. Jessica did most of the research work on the pricing. So it's $173,000 for maintenance and repair.
Mr. Chairman.
Right.
I just wanted to ask a quick question about the asbestos abatement. Where's the asbestos?
It's in pipes.
Thank you.
Move to approve G15-14.
Second. Any discussion?
Question.
Brandon, would you pull the board?
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Aye.
Ms. Nygaard.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Pruse.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I do have one question now that this 173, all right, where are we at, John and staff, where are we at now on the overall concept of building update?
Yes, so we intend to present at the next board meeting an overview of the prior alternatives considered, as well as kind of move forward in ongoing maintenance, repair, and operation mode.
Okay. All right, thank you. I imagine you're up for the next one too, right? One-stop shopping here.
Yeah, pretty much. A premium on efficiencies.
Next, we have resolution G15-15, demolition of Blue Central Building. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve G15-15.
Second.
Thank you. John?
Item 7B, resolution G15-15, authorizes ADA to proceed with the demolition of the Blue Central structure. This would leave the property in a clean and clear condition ready for reuse. At this time, I ask Carl Reich to remain and be available to present and answer questions.
We have a demolition design being prepared by RIM Architects, and the permit's already been issued by the city for the demolition, just waiting for a contractor to pick up the permit. We separated out the demolition from upgrades on the site, The upgrades turned out to be a little bit more complicated than we thought. We either have to provide a lot of landscaping or take a look at our future project where we rezone and replat. The current lot the building sits on, plus the two lots we picked up with Blue Central. So at this time, we're just proceeding with the demolition. And there is some asbestos in the building and lead paint on the exterior, so it's hard to predict exactly what the bids will turn out to be, but $100,000 should cover it.
Questions for the board? Can I ask that question? All right, and I hear no questions. Bring, would you pull the board, please?
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Aye.
Ms. Nygaard.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Mr. Day.
Yes.
Mr. Pruitt.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Item number C, Resolution 15-16, authorizing authority to amend its participation in the PERS to exclude employees of Pentex Alaska Natural Gas Company, LLC, and all of its subsidiaries. Is there a motion to get on the floor?
I'll move Resolution number G15-16.
I'll second.
Thank you. John?
Item 7C, Resolution G15-16, authorizes ADA to amend its participation in the State of Alaska Public Employee Retirement System to exclude the employees of Pentex Alaska Natural Gas Company, LLC. The Pentex Alaska Natural Gas Company, LLC employees would continue to receive benefits under their existing plans and programs. This would avoid the potential for duplication of benefits. At this time, I ask Michael Lamb to present and be available to answer questions.
Thank you, John. Mr. Chair, Board, this is really pretty much a straightforward, simple action. We are, ADA that is what's called a PERS employer. As such, we have what's called a participation agreement, and therefore all of our employees, by definition, are considered to be PERS employees unless they're specifically excluded in writing through an amendment to our PERS agreement. This resolution essentially allows for that amendment. And in the cover memo, about the fourth paragraph down, it talks about the resolution G1509, which had to do with Pentex, and the board stated that the authority contentious with Pentex's investment, but it goes on further. It says, states that the authority is holding Pentex's investment. None of the employees of Pentex or subsidiaries are to be considered or treated as employees of the authority or the state of Alaska or eligible for benefits under any of the retirement health or benefit plans of the state of Alaska. So this resolution formally accomplishes your action. Adoption of this resolution essentially sanctions the executive director to send a letter and to comply with the board's G1509 direction. So we obviously encourage its adoption and happy to take any questions that you might have.
Mr. Chairman, two questions. The first, Mr. Lamb, in the resolution, last paragraph on the first page, it notes that the authority intends to continue the existing benefits package. I just assume that that's been studied to see that there's nothing unusual in it, that we should have pause in continuing that extension of benefits.
I think the short answer is there's nothing. I think there is.
Short answer is great. Thank you. The second question I have is on the bottom of page 2. It says the authority shall amend participation in PERS so as to exclude, but it does not explicitly state what's stated in the cover memo that says that they won't be eligible for any other state benefits. In other words, Mr. Chairman, the resolution speaks specifically to PERS, but does not make the statement about the broader health care benefits package. Is there a need to do so, Mr. Chairman? Mr. Lamb.
I don't believe so. Either you're entitled to State of Alaska, all the benefits the employee, which is the participation agreement, allows you to be as a member employer. So,
if I could, Mr. Commissioner, Mark Davis, for the record, with this, resolution is doing is flowing PERS, that they're not participating in the PERS plan. The resolution, therefore, was broader to say that if there are any other benefits, beyond the PERS plan, they're not eligible for that. So this resolution is just to authorize the executive director to send in on the PERS participation.
Mr. Chairman, that's actually exactly my question. The memo is broader, but the resolution is narrower. And if we intend to give full effect to the memo, do we need a resolution that deals with other benefits? And the answer can be no. I just want to know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So the former resolution, or the number that the chief ran right in, was saying that we're going to run it with that. Yeah, that should cover the other benefits, I think.
Well, could we, I'll tell you what, why don't we kind of look at that?
And we can look at that.
But in the meantime, we should adopt this.
Right. Right. We're going to bring it back to the next board meeting.
If there's any need.
If there's any need.
And the answer to your question, too, we are working very much with the existing plan, the existing employees, and intend to keep that in place.
Next question.
Any other questions? Anything for in?
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Aye.
Ms. Nygaard.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Prude.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Brent. Okay, that's Interior Energy Project update. John?
Item 7D is an update of the Interior Energy Projects. This time I'll ask Bob Chepchick to present and call on others as needed.
Nick and Tommy,
let's start. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon.
Just to let you know that Gary is over here writing.
I didn't prepare a PowerPoint with a slide with a chart on it, and so that I know that creates some anxiety. It's been about 6 weeks since we were here. A lot has been going on through all aspects, so you're going to hear from different members of the team this month. In terms of each component and where we are in the timelines, and so we're just going to go through each of them and then wrap up with the summary. And I'll start with Nick as we talk about supply.
Okay, thank you. So, through the chair, in June, at the direction of Department of Community and Commerce and Economic Development under AO 272, ADA issued a request for information for Cook Inlet Gas Supply as part of the IEP. This wasn't a binding RFP. This was instead just reaching out to the market to determine whether or not Cook Inlet Gas Supply was available at volumes, terms, and price that would make Cook Inlet a viable solution for the IEP. That RFI closed on July 16th, and we are now in the process of evaluating the responses. The contents, the offers, and the results are going to remain confidential. I will go so far as to say that we do have responses to evaluate, so that is a good sign. We have work to do. We have proposals to look at. And the outcome of this process will not necessarily directly lead to negotiations for a gas supply or purchasing gas supply. Instead, this process is kind of a two-step process or two-stage process. First stage is determining whether or not Cook Inlet is a viable option. And the evaluation committee will make that determination, create a short report or short memo to the RFP or the IEP RFP evaluation team, the rest of the IEP team. This memo would likely be made public. That would simply outline, probably one of three options. Yes, Cook Inlet has enough gas and the price looks great for IEP. Middle of the road would be, looks like there's gas available. There may be some issues that we need to work through on price or term or volume. Or C, the market revealed that Cook Inlet is not a viable option. So we can expect that to come from the RFI evaluation team here in coming weeks, and that'll help inform the RFP evaluation team as they look at potential Cook Inlet options.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you speak to the evaluation team. Would you speak to who they are and what the process is and how they're going to evaluate?
Right now we're holding the actual members of the evaluation team confidential until the process is through. But the process itself, we will meet on Monday. We'll go through, evaluate, share each other's evaluations of each one. And then for each different proposal, we will go through our notes and then we will combine to create one common
document, that's that memo I discussed, and we'll share them. We'll all be in as close to agreement as possible, or at least acknowledge that this is the document that we're sharing. At that point, that document will go to the RFP team. If at such point down the RFP evaluation and commercial negotiation time, we do end up going with a proposal for Cook Inlet liquefaction that does not come with its own gas supply, and the results of this RFI are needed to complete that project, we'll reactivate the evaluation team, or at least the proposals we receive, and start direct commercial negotiations with them in order to integrate with the Cook Inlet LNG plant.